Right now, the world could use some irrational kindness and maybe a side of waffle fries. Let's talk about it with Kevin Williams on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
And we are so glad you're here. You always have a place at our table. And I'm Steve, the aforementioned old white guy. Our favorite megachurch pastor, Zach Van Dyke, is here. Zach, as you may know, has six kids. Mm-hmm. Of course, in biblical tradition, the number six represents lack of sleep and graying hair.
Yes, and lots of money spent at Chick-fil-A.
And lots of stuff from Chick-fil-A. Matthew Border, who's our executive producer, is with us. Matthew, you've got a haircut. Actually, you got a lot of hair, Scott.
I run a lot faster now.
What does your family think?
I don't know. It's not exactly what I asked her for, but here we are, you know.
Do the headphones fit better?
We had a staff guy one time that had a beard for a long time, and he shaved it, and he went into his little girl's bedroom that morning to wake her up, and she opened her eyes and said, "Oh, Daddy, put it back." I've been trying to put it back for a long time and just can't quite get it to stick. Our producer, Jinx, is working hard in his little glass booth. Matthew, you could learn from Jinx. Just let the hair grow.
Can always learn.
Tonight is hair mask night. Just letting y'all know.
Our video director and IT guy, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. John fixes things. And right now, he's fixing to eat some Chick-fil-A nuggets. You can't see him because he refuses to come on camera. But trust me on this. And Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. George wants everyone to know that the paper we use here is recycled. And the jokes are, too.
Well, and if you have any paper currency, you could recycle that our direction.
So that's right. Take care of it in a proper manner. And Kathy Wyatt is the soft feminine side of the program. It was her idea that we all have Chick-fil-A food during the show. Hey, good idea. Thanks, Kathy.
My pleasure.
Well played.
So before we began, everybody hold up their Chick-fil-A stuff.
All of it or just like some of it?
I'd like to report that somebody seems to have taken a few waffle fries out of my serving before it got to me.
That's not a waffle fry tax.
I did not touch them. I promise.
Complain.
Well, blaming the restaurant.
Listen, since Kevin's doing this for us for free, we thought we ought to give him, you know, a little bit of commercial promotion on this broadcast. And I certainly hope Kevin is properly thankful. Speaking of Kevin, Kevin Williams is one of only a few triple franchisees with Chick-fil-A, one of the country's fastest growing companies. After getting a degree in management information systems from the University of Georgia, he worked in banking. But 25 years ago, he switched gears to follow his passion as an entrepreneur and restaurant person. Kevin's new book is called Irrational Kindness, The Crazy Pursuit of an Extraordinary Life. And
there it is.
And it's not what you think it is. To be frank with you, Kevin, I can't stand these kind of books. They drive me nuts. They're filled with cliches and silly stuff and motivational things that just don't work. And I did what I'm supposed to do, because I always do what I'm supposed to do. I got your book out and started reading this morning. And I got to be honest with you, it blew me away. I mean, it is so different and so refreshing and so life-changing. If people would read this book, that it was, well, I like the book a lot. And I don't like these kind of books a lot. Enough said. First, Kevin, thanks for being with us.
Gosh, thank you so much. And what an intro. I'm sweating a little bit, you know, when you started that intro, you know, I got a little nervous. But, you know, I'm the same way. And I would never put down something like random acts of kindness. I think they're wonderful. I love some good random acts of kindness. But I prefer a little strategic acts of kindness. And I think a lot of what I've found from leading, you know, hundreds of been involved in serving fast food, which is a very transactional and fast business. It's not the prettiest business in the world when you think of how fast it is and teenagers that you're working with and, you know, trying to get customers in through in a very short amount of time and serving some great food. But I've discovered that, you know, just the spirit of a different perspective and a perspective that shifts your mind just a little bit is just the kind of renewal I'm after every day. And so I hope this book is that my journey in that.
And I know you're a Christian, so it's biblical renewal in a real sense of that sort of thing. I want to get into that as we go along. But first, tell us about, by the way, our Chick-fil-A is right down the street from where my study is right now. Easy to get to. And hard to get food because the line is so long all the time, except on Sundays. And you got to sit there and, well, it's worth it, I guess. But I'll tell you, I have said more than once, I wish I owned this franchise. As soon as we finish with this talk with you, Kevin, we're going to ask for a contribution to you. I want you to know that. But listen, tell us about your journey, about the Chick-fil-A and how you got there from banking.
Well, I was going to tell you, Truett Cathy used to say closing on Sunday was his best business decision he ever made. That is irrational, isn't it?
Yes. It is.
Close a restaurant on the busiest day of the year, I mean, the busiest day of the week, and Chick-fil-A's will do more volume per unit than about double any other restaurant in this business. It's just amazing what that principle that's irrational that Truett Cathy started. I first heard Truett Cathy when I was a teenager, and I had a little cut grass, and I had this entrepreneurial spirit about me of how I was going to, you know, create this chain of grass cutting when I was 12. And I had this, I just always had that budding entrepreneurial spirit about me. So the first time I heard Truett Cathy, I was blown away. He had both the spirit of entrepreneurship. He wanted to win. He expected the best, but he also had this piece over here about people, putting people first in the spirit of using his business. He had a much longer range plan in the way he viewed business, which is really different in how we're going to do this quarter and how we're going to do this year. He was thinking of it in a lot longer term that really was a disruptor in the marketplace. And I fell in love with that idea of the business and kind of had one eye on Chick-fil-A the whole time. But eventually almost 11 years later, but I eventually got into Chick-fil-A and got my first location.
Kathy's spirit is still there, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
The principles are still clearly a part of the business.
You know, the business has changed totally different than, you know, it's got a $14 billion business. You know, it's all over the country and fixing to go internationally in some different ways. But the heart of Chick-fil-A, the heart of our corporate purpose is still alive and well. And it's in the 80s, when Chick-fil-A really had some challenges, that the group of the leaders in Chick-fil-A went away to try and figure out, hey, how are we going to turn this thing around? It's really a rough patch for Chick-fil-A. And I'm always soft to imagine. I wonder if they thought, hey, maybe we start open on Sundays, or what do we do to change this? But you know what they came back with was this corporate purpose that's alive today, stronger than I've ever seen it in my time. It's to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all we're entrusted to and have a positive influence on all we come in contact with. It's an open hand mentality of a business to say, hey, I'm just steward over here. I know my franchises. Hey, if something happens to me tomorrow, you know how long it's going to take Chick-fil-A to replace me? Approximately about 10 seconds. So I get it. But I want to make sure I'm a steward of the resources and the spirit of serving people that glorifies and honor God. Changes the way I'm doing everything. And it puts a different onus, not on me of like, this is mine. It's on the stewardship of the business. And I think we do this with our own lives, the exact same way. Can we be a great steward of the life that God gave us?
All right. If you died, 10 seconds to fill your place. That's that old story. Jimmy didn't leave a hole when he left. We're going to talk about that. Less about chicken and more about Jesus and a philosophy that is life-changing and culture-changing and country-changing. And you don't want to miss a bit of it. Meanwhile, while we're selling our product, we're going to enjoy some Chick-fil-A pieces and product, and like Jesus, we'll return.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, you're listening to Steve Brown, Etc., and we're so glad you're here. We're talking to entrepreneur and author Kevin Williams. His new book, and it's not what you think it is. I mean, this is a great book, and it'll change everything that you think about people and about culture and about where we as Christians are called. The title is Irrational Kindness, The Crazy Pursuit of an Extraordinary Life. And it's worth reading that all, or knowing that all proceeds from the sale of this book will benefit foster kids, adopted kids, and families in crisis.
That's so awesome. Cool. That's so cool. Kevin, I went over to the Chick-fil-A this morning that's closest to the office to get some food for 3 of us that are here at the office today. And it was 43 in Orlando this morning. So it's a little nippy. You know, Florida people don't know what to do with 43. But anyway, these 3 little girls were standing out there helping. And you know, the line was, because I was there at 11 a.m. So the lines were starting to form. Double lines and all of that. They were hustling like they always do. So I was giving them my order, and I was telling them what we were doing today and how we were going to have the food and that we were interviewing you and that you owned the three franchises and on and on and on and on. And they were so excited. Oh my goodness, that's so exciting. Where are you going to do that? Oh no, I have to work. I can't go, you know, I mean, and then I pulled around to pick up my order and this sweet little girl was there and she said, tell me what you were telling them. I could hear some of that. So I told her and she said, I want to buy that book. Tell me where I can buy that book. I said, just go to Amazon, you know. And I told her, you know, I said, it's Irrational Kindness. And he's a Chick-fil-A guy. And that's why we're eating Chick-fil-A today. Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice. Will he see you eating the chicken? I said, yes, he'll see us eating the chicken.
I certainly see Matthew over here eating the chicken. That's for sure.
Well, you know, Matthew has four kids and Zach has six. So, and they single-handedly probably support
yes.
Chick-fil-A franchises yeah, here in yeah. town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have friends that say, you know, you're a line item on our budget. I'm like, yes, that's what I want to say. You know, here's the thing that I love about that, Kathy, is that 16-year-olds are amazing. And 17, 18, this next generation is a beautiful generation. They want to be inspired. They want to do things with purpose. And, you know, we all need a paycheck, but when you really lean into seeing that no matter if your job's a waffle fry cook that I talk about myself in the form of, or, you know, if you're on taking somebody's order or if you're cooking the fries or taking orders, it's like when you start seeing the purpose behind your job, it changes everything. And when you can help a 16-year-old just nudge that perspective change, because we all need a paycheck. You know, we're all there to get that. But when that light shines a light to see that person as an individual, not just as a transaction, it is a game changer. And this next generation really wants to do that. And they need us to really help lean into that because they want to be a part of something bigger. And I think it's beautiful. And when you see Unleash That, it's a really wonderful thing. And the personality comes in and they really want to help keep growing and learning.
It's a drastic difference between the response that you get from those young people to, and you know, not using the names of other, you know, other businesses, fast food businesses, but I mean, there's just a drastic difference.
Ooh. Well, when you view that person as not a commodity or that customer is not a transaction, but you infuse it as you're part of what they're doing and you want to see, you want to dream, you know, walk alongside their dreams. I do a thing called Coffee with Kevin. It's actually how the book formed. It was really an idea of I would give people a book that I wrote. But one day, you know, we're talking about in this Coffee with Kevin, I'm not going over every little, they can read an email and go over all the rules and regulations of, you know, about having a job. It's important to be on time and all the things that are, you know, don't steal, some, you know, key things that are nice to make sure everybody's on the same page on. But it's about walking alongside of a journey with somebody and saying, hey, whatever your dreams are, I want you to have I tell every team member when they start, I want this to be the best place you ever work in your life. I want to encourage you more, but I also want to challenge you more. I want to see your dreams come true. And then we spend time talking about how they were born original, that God created them just beautiful the way he created them. And it's those individual gifts and talents that make the difference. We talk about the beauty of failure. I have a failure wall in my house that just has some awesome, ridiculous failures. And we go around and we talk about just some crazy failures we have. So it takes we're taking the power away from those failures and saying those don't have power over you. Those are just parts of getting better and continuous improvement. And when we start having those conversations with folks, it changes everything. And that's what I love to do. And that's what really inspired this book to share some of those things that we're on that journey on.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, I want to ask you how you landed on kindness. I mean, there's so many great traits that we could, you know, extol or love or generosity or humility. How and why kindness?
Yeah, I think for me, I've just seen it. I think when I started it as a leader, I used to feel I always had a leaning towards relationships, I'd say, or, but I felt like that was also a weakness. People would tell me that's a weakness, you know, and it's easy as a leader to feel that way, that that, you know, you can get run over. You're not clear. You're not driven towards those results because you kind of got results and relationships on either side. But I've just found that when I develop these relationships and it takes a kindness approach and assuming the best mentality, it's easy when somebody's late to assume they're lazy or they don't care enough or they're not on, you know, they're not organized. You know, what's funny is when I'm late, I give myself some amazing excuses that feel very, very validated. But when they're late, I think they're lazy, you know, all these different things. It's this idea of assuming the best. It's a quarter of a turn in mentality of shift and leaning into that. And I discover all kinds of things. You know, I'll see a team member. And when you lean into it and say, hey, that person's late, when you sit down with them and say, hey, give me a little bit of, you know, I know you've been late. What's going on in your life? And you really don't just assume they're a jerk. You start discovering things in a new way. That mental shift changes everything. So leading with kindness doesn't mean sticking your head in the sand or getting run over. I mean, you know, we have candid discussions all the time. To me, it just leaves the door open for more clear, candid discussions. And I've just found a lot of business success in leading with that kindness.
Excellent.
Oh, man. That's such good stuff. And the kind of thing that we all need to hear and live. Man, we're living in a culture where you cancel people out because they're different from you. A culture of hatred and division, where we judge people by the worst side of their group and they do the same thing with us. Maybe what Kevin's talking about is a direction that would change a lot. The book is Irrational Kindness, The Crazy Pursuit of an Extraordinary Life. And for those of you who are believers, you don't get an option on this stuff. It's biblical and Jesus said it. So deal with it, okay?
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know. A gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
About irrational kindness with Kevin Williams. That's the name of his book, The Crazy Pursuit of an Extraordinary Life. Thanks for hanging out with us, by the way. We love having you here with a seat at our table. And in case you had not heard, the new edition of our Key Life magazine is now available. Go to keylife.org/digitalmagazine to download it. And then you can't complain because, frankly, it's free.
Yeah.
Kevin, my 4-year-old every day requests that we play Kanye West's song Closed on Sunday because he loves Chick-fil-A.
And, oh, yes.
I'm curious, though, what your favorite Chick-fil-A item is right now. If you could only have one item from Chick-fil-A, what would it be?
Well, you know, I'm going to be a little renegade because it's not on the menu, but we've got this new spicy grilled sandwich out now. Well, I'll take the spicy grilled and I'll cut it up, just the grilled sandwich, the spicy chicken, and I'll put it on the kale crunch. It's perfection. So that's kind of what I'm into right now. I'm all mixing right. two items, but I do that a lot. You know, you take Chick-fil-A sauce and buffalo sauce. It's perfection. It may be a little irrational, but it's perfection. But I can work all kinds of mixtures.
Kevin, I can see why you're successful. You never stop selling. As I told you before, if you had peach milkshakes all year round, I'd be there a lot more often. George?
Yeah. So he's upselling even when he's talking about a particular item. So all you have to do is buy two items selling and put them together, and then it'll be even better. Kevin, I really enjoyed the book too, and Irrational Kindness. The title is Irrational Kindness. We need to repeat that. One of your chapters was Java Beach, and you talked about focusing on restoration and creating margin. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I believe it takes a lot of bravery. I mean, imagine, you know, we can talk about Chick-fil-A and Truett Cathy being closed on Sunday. You can talk about creation, you know, the story of creation where God gave a break on Sunday. But what it really takes in our own personal life is a lot of courage, isn't it? It's really hard because we're all distracted. I mean, by the phone, we want to know what everybody on social media thinks that we, you know, we may not even care about them that much, but we want to know what they think. To give yourself quiet and space, margin, to allow God to speak into that is a really, really difficult thing to do because it takes you, requires you to say no to some things that are all good. There's great things out there. But I believe it's where God works best when we create this space in our mind to propel us forward into some really awesome things. And I think, you know, kindness, when you do that, when you just fill your mind full of nonstop energy, but when you can pause and allow God to speak into that, we can see things differently. I think 80% of my day is filled with keeping the plate spinning, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. life is busy. You have kids, you have wives, you have a wife. Y'all have wives, but you get what I'm saying.
Did you hear Kevin
say? Yeah, let's don't start any upselling on that.
What are you guys doing?
That could hurt your business bad. I just want you to know that, Kevin.
But all that is the responsibilities of work and the different things. Yeah, that's just normal, and that's hard sometimes, and that, I can't fix that. But when you allow this margin to come in, I'm kind of creating about 20% of my time where I can look and propel myself towards the dreams, the things that I can see down the road more clearly, and I can take some bold steps. And it requires us providing some space to do that.
I would think, too, I mean, even as part of the idea of irrational kindness is helping other people create that margin and create that, give them a little slack in there to be able to do that same restoration.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm sometimes not great at letting people do that. Sometimes I want to go solve every problem they have, or I want to be involved in those things and create, well, it's those tensions of that margin or that space, or even challenges that is the beautiful thing. And just walking alongside of each other to figure out how to navigate those things is a part of the beauty. And it's irrational. It's kind to yourself and it's kind to them when you allow that to go. But you have to create those different spaces. I like to bookend my days with a couple things. And I love weird magazines. I think at night I cut the TV off and I want to read a surfer magazine. Trust me, I've never been surfing, but I like the spirit behind it. You can go to discount magazines and find whatever. I like Western magazines, whatever, to get my mind into a different thought process at night is that margin that I get to create and allow my creativity to soak in and allow to learn some different things that are out there. And I try to do that in the morning, too, with, you know, journaling to myself. So.
Kevin, Playboy magazine will do that for you.
Oh, Steve.
No.
You know, like I said, you got to choose what you're not going to do, too, equally.
Guys, we got to back out.
Some bold
we got to make, got to sell our product. And this is very hard work, so we're all going to take a nappy nap. rest up, and then we're going to come back. I would remind you again that the book is Irrational Kindness, The Crazy Pursuit of an Extraordinary Life. It is life-changing. Be a great study for a small group in your church. Don't you dare go away. He was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. Hey, thanks for spending this time with us. If you listen to this show, then make sure you join our email list. We send it out once a week. It's free and easily worth twice that price. You can sign up now at keylife.org/subscribe. And we're talking with Kevin Williams, and his book is Irrational Kindness.
As a business owner myself, I want to know, when did you write the book? Like, how do you have time to write the book when you run three businesses and I get 2 to 4 hours of sleep running one?
You know, my wife told me the other day, she said, "You're exhausting."
Like a 2-year-old.
Did you say you're exhausted or exhausting?
He tells me I'm exhausting. My brain likes to create, and I like to push things in my mind. But I just trying to carve out some time. I mean, life is hard. I tell people, we talk about in some of our times together with our team, what makes life hard? It's an interesting question just to lean into. What makes life hard? Everybody, just because of what they look like or the way they seem on the surface, does not mean how they are inside. I mean, you can see a well-rounded young adult and they look like they got together. But, you know, there's a lot of trauma and stuff in all of our lives and the way we're approaching things. So I have a heart for just kind of leaning into encouraging people that life is hard. I can't fix normal. That's one thing I can't do. Life has a lot of challenges and different things. But it's what we can do with that life when we see a purpose in what we do. And it changes everything. You know, Jesus was very irrational. Have you ever looked at this where, you know, he spit in somebody's eyes and then he comes in on a donkey and he starts talking about stuff, you know, about loving your enemy and these things that are just wacky. But, you know, they propel us forward when we actually start to kind of live and look through the lens that he kind of helped taught us. You know, I say an old age becomes a second wind. You know, when I first heard Trua Cathy, he was 64 when I first heard him. Boy, he was just getting started. He was still only in malls at that time. You would think, you see what Chick-fil-A is today. It's like, give yourself a little grace and a little peace is a good way to approach life. And just, it changes your time horizon and changes your perspective oftentimes.
Kevin, whether you own one franchise or in your case, three, you obviously have to have people that are managers or whatever in each location. I mean, you're good, but you can't be in three places at the same time. And so there's this, I hate to use the term because it has bad connotations, but this trickle down effect kind of thing of there's a way you want to see your businesses run. And so you're sharing and encouraging your managerial people to do that, who in turn are doing that with the staff, et cetera, and so forth. I mean, are they, do these kids know that like any time of day or night, you know, the owner can come in, so you better be doing a good job? Or, I mean, what is, how does that work in terms of making its way down through everybody?
Yes, Kathy, we have a great leader at each location. I try to simplify everything. I try and bring things down and have a system in my mind that simplifies everything. So we have a leader at each restaurant, and they do a great job. And under them are some different teams that different parts. It may be the drive-through team. It may be a delivery team. It may be a marketing team. So they're trying to capture all these people to put them on a team, so that when somebody young starts with us, maybe they want to join the training team and become a mentor for the new people that they start. So everybody hopefully has a team that they can be a part of, and it kind of connects people quicker. I find the quicker I can get somebody and let them know they're a part of something bigger. We actually believe we can change the world through our restaurant. We talk about kindness over everything. And these are really big ideas, but when we kind of do that, it seems to inspire. We invite them on a journey. People want to go on a journey, don't you? You don't want to just be a place that you're just getting a paycheck. And I often find that, you know, that trouble happens when we don't have them inspired towards that. But when people are inspired towards something that's bigger than them, it fires them up. I got this. I wrote it down, this quote. Well, first of all, I believe what is visualized, imagined, believed in, that's pure beauty. You can see a sandwich as a good sandwich, but when you capture something that can be visualized, imagined, believed in, that's just pure beauty. And I love what Bono says. I'm a big Bono fan. He says, "You're packing a suitcase for a place none of us has been, a place that has to be believed in to be seen." And then he says, my favorite two words, walk on. And I think that's the inspiration that we're trying to do as and that we can do for each other. You know, I don't have a vaccine for this stuff. It's not a two-shot vaccine that I got for to encourage you and to encourage myself and to encourage that person across the counter. But it is this idea that we can walk on together. It's this daily renewal of the mind to say, hey, you're a part of something bigger. And it helps me not get caught up in every little micro discussion that the news media wants to throw at me or that social media wants to throw at me. I'm not trying to win all those wars. I'm trying to win a war of walking alongside somebody and cheering them on to how we can see the people across the counter and to see the people that are around me that I pass every day. And sometimes I don't recognize the person that's there that I'm trying to make myself recognize and see the story behind that person.
Now, this is the cynical old preacher in me, and there are some people that aren't fixable, who won't respond to your words, who don't care about a dream, and who won't be a good employee. How do you fire somebody like that?
Well, you mean that works with me?
Yeah,
on our team?
I mean, they don't all turn out well, do
Sometimes
they?
Sometimes I promote them to a customer. I'm like, congratulations, you got promoted. There's a way you can shift your perspective on everything.
Oh man, that was really good.
But you know what? There's a term called wabi-sabi. I don't know if you've ever heard of wabi-sabi, but it's the beauty of the imperfect. And you know what? When I realize that customer's wonky, when I realize that guy on the TV that's talking wonky, when I realize that social media person is just trying to draw us into something that's not even worthy of a thing, that's their race. I can cheer them on whatever they got going on. That's fine. But the beauty of the imperfect, to realize and see people that way. I mean, I could put a vase and I can put some scratches on it, make it look real old. My wife may pay four times what it's worth because you tell me it's more expensive, broken and chipped and that way. And we all do that. It's like when you start seeing the beauty of the imperfect, it's how our lives are. And it's a great way to shift your mind into thinking that.
Kevin, you're refreshing and your book is too. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. I know your schedule's got to be terrible. Your wife agrees with me. I hope you'll come back sometime and we can talk about it some more.
Anytime. I love
guys,
it.
Guys, we're going to take one more break. Don't go anywhere. You'll get the hives. And then we're coming back and we'll tell you who we're going to do it unto next week. It will be an incredible program like this one was.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
What a great hour with Kevin. You ought to get that book, Irrational Kindness. I remember years ago, some of us here knew him. He was my mentor. George knew Fred Smith, and Kathy did. And I've heard Fred Smith talk about this a lot. He says people come to him and say, can you make money? Can you be successful and still be a Christian? And Fred's standard answer was, I don't know how you can be successful without not being a Christian. And then he would go in and delineate some of the things, and not altogether different than the things that Kevin Williams has been talking about in this last hour. He was talking about business and Chick-fil-A and product and customers and employees and all of that. But at bottom line, what Kevin was talking about is what it means to be a Christian. How to get through life and to do it with a fair degree of success, at least as good as you can in a fallen world. The Bible's a good handbook for a lot of things, and one of them, it's a good handbook for weathering hard places in life. And if you're not a believer, get a copy of it. Check it out. You might be really surprised. Kathy, who's going to be on next week?
Next week, Preston Sprinkle is going to be on. We've had him on before, and it was a great interview. He's got a new book out called, which is going to be very interesting conversation. The title is Embodied, and the subtitle is Transgender Identities, the Church, and What the Bible Has to Say.
And it's not going to be what you think either. We've been yelling at each other. This is a controversial subject. Whenever we bring it up, we get very angry letters on both sides. And so next week, what we're going to do is we're going to be still. We're going to talk and kind of see what's really going on and why it's going on. And it will not be done without compassion. Life is really hard. And so as Kevin has been teaching us the last hour, it would be a good thing for us to be kind to one another. Well, it's over. It's over. Until next week, same time, same place. And it's our fond hope that you join us between now and then. Don't do anything we wouldn't do. And that gives you a wide, wide berth.